ABC News with Glenn Lauder. It's emerged that a doctor who administered an overdose of the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine to two elderly residents did not have the proper training. An 88-year-old man and 94-year-old woman at a Brisbane nursing home were given additional doses. They're now being monitored in hospital. The company managing the vaccine rollout in Queensland, Healthcare Australia, says all of its staff had undertaken training for the COVID-19 immunisations. But Aged Care Services Minister Richard Colbeck says it's now corrected the record, saying the doctor involved had not.
HCA has advised that all other HCA immunisers have completed the training. HCA has also advised that this doctor has not been involved in the vaccination rollout from any other facility.
Queensland is closing its border to New Zealand again from 6 o'clock local time. All so-called green flights into Queensland from New Zealand will stop immediately, and all Trans-Tasman travellers will need to complete quarantine on arrival. Chief Health Officer Dr. Jeanette Young says a cautious approach is needed after a recent increase in COVID community transmission in New Zealand. Anyone who's arrived in Queensland from New Zealand since the 6th of February is urged to come forward and get tested and isolate until they have a negative result. The United States has now vaccinated 65 million people against COVID-19 as supply issues continue to impact rollouts across the world. Catherine McGann reports.
The US passed 500,000 deaths from coronavirus earlier this week, but vaccinations have now halved the daily rate of deaths, down from 4,000 a day just a few months ago. The US FDA says it plans to approve Pfizer's request to store their vaccine at standard freezer temperatures instead of in ultra-cold conditions, which could free up supply and delivery. Global supply problems continue, however. AstraZeneca has told the EU it can only deliver less than half its promised shipments for the second quarter of this year.
Australia's highest court has released its reasons for ruling against Clive Palmer's legal challenge to WA's hard border. Rhiannon Shine reports.
The High Court found Western Australia's hard border with the rest of Australia, introduced in March last year as a response to the global pandemic, was justified to prevent a potentially catastrophic event. The judgment states there could be no doubt that a law restricting the movement of people into a state was a suitable way of preventing COVID-19 from entering a community. The Premier Mark McGowan has welcomed the ruling.
That is a further vindication that we did the right thing at the height of the pandemic.
The court ruled Mr. Palmer would need to pay legal costs in the case.
A Cairns man has been sentenced to 6 years jail over the death of a little boy who was left on a childcare centre bus for several hours on a hot summer's day in far north Queensland. 3-year-old Malik Namok Malamu died in February last year. 45-year-old Michael Glenn Lewis, who was the daycare centre director, had collected the boy from his home but failed to take him off the bus. He pleaded guilty to manslaughter and will be eligible for parole in 18 months. In handing down the sentence, Justice James Henry says the boy's death had created unfathomable grief for the family. Labor is demanding the federal government create a national anti-racism strategy after a man with a swastika painted on his forehead allegedly attacked an Indigenous woman in Perth. WA police say the man racially abused the victim while she was with her teenage daughter in the city's southeast on Saturday, before attempting to burn her with a can of deodorant and a lighter. Opposition MP Andrew Giles has told Parliament right-wing extremism is a growing threat to Australia.
This rise of right-wing extremism, this rise of racism, these things are not happening in a vacuum. Not enough is being done to tackle racism and stamp out right-wing extremism.
The Australian Transport Safety Bureau says a helicopter crash late last year, which killed two people near Goulburn in southern New South Wales, was caused by the main rotor striking the fuselage. Michael Inman reports.
An aerial search for the Robinson R-44 was launched after it failed to return from a training flight on the afternoon of December 2, 2020. A preliminary report has found the main rotor struck the helicopter's fuselage in flight, leading to a loss of control, causing the chopper to crash to the ground. Nearby weather stations showed deteriorating weather at the time of the accident. The ATSB says the ongoing investigation will now analyse factors such as the weather, turbulence, pilot input, engine issues and aircraft controllability.
You're listening to ABC News. The company which runs Geelong's oil refinery says it probably would have shut down without support from the federal government. Viva Energies announced the refinery lost $95 million last financial year, and its margins were more than halved, though they've since rebounded slightly. The federal government's been paying refineries 1 cent per litre since the start of the year to help keep them open. But 2 weeks ago, ExxonMobil announced it'd be shutting its Altona refinery in Melbourne's west. Viva Energy CEO Scott Wyatt says the payment's been crucial to keeping the Geelong refinery running and able to employ 700 staff.
The fuel security package is really a critical piece of the jigsaw for refining. If we didn't have the announcement last year from Minister Taylor and Prime Minister Morrison and the interim support package in place for the first part, half of this year, we probably wouldn't have a refining business.
Police say a criminal gang spent months terrorising the Sydney family of a senior Iraqi politician in an attempt to extort up to $10 million from him. Sarah Gerethy reports.
Authorities in New South Wales and Canada have arrested four people over a series of attacks on the Chester Hill home of Ahmed Al-Asadi's wife and five children. Detective Chief Superintendent Darren Bennett says the mastermind of the scheme was a Canadian man who directed people in Sydney to target the Fatah Alliance spokesman's family.
Those people have been subject to a home invasion, a number of incidents of damage to their home address and online extortion.
Today, in a coordinated operation, authorities searched homes in northwestern Sydney and Canada and arrested three men and a woman. They're expected to face charges including demand money with menace.
French investigators are reportedly accusing tech giant Google of failing to comply with orders on how to conduct negotiations with news publishers. Some French news publishers are claiming Google failed to hold good faith talks on finding an agreement on using their content. Google signed a deal with some organisations early this year, similar to agreements reached with Australian publishers. But reports say Google has committed serious breaches of the law in talks with other news providers. Joe Biden has held his first one-on-one summit as US president with a foreign leader. Mr. Biden's held a virtual meeting with the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, focusing on a new partnership roadmap based on shared values and priorities on climate change and foreign policy. Prime Minister Trudeau says the two countries are looking forward to working more closely in the post-Trump era.
In the face of COVID-19, of climate change, of rising inequality, this is our moment to act. So we're not wasting any time in getting down to work.
Scientists say they've discovered the oldest evidence of domesticated dogs living in the Americas more than 10,000 years ago. They've analysed the DNA of a femur bone fragment found in southern Alaska. The discovery supports a theory that the animals joined the first wave of human settlers who crossed what was then a land bridge from Siberia to North America at the end of the last ice age. Updating sports news, it's understood that the International Olympic Committee will rubber stamp Brisbane as the preferred city to host the 2032 Olympic Games at a meeting later tonight. As Tracy Holmes reports, the city's bid has looked likely to overcome competition from Doha to Chinese cities and Budapest for some time.
Well, Brisbane had the early running, I think, after the Commonwealth Games in 2018. They were pretty serious about a bid. We know that the Queensland Premier Palaszczuk has always been very upfront about this. There've been discussions ongoing at a political level, at a sporting level, about how infrastructure and more can be improved in Queensland, building on the legacy of the Commonwealth Games. And they are just further ahead than any other bid city at this point.
The golfer Tiger Woods has undergone surgery at a Southern California hospital after suffering severe leg injuries in a car crash near Los Angeles overnight. CNN's chief medical correspondent Sanjay Gupta says Woods spoke to the first responders at the crash site.
Calm and lucid was how the deputy described when he first saw Tiger Woods. He was talking to him through the window, and he felt, based on him assessing Tiger Woods, that he could even in fact wait for the L.A. County Fire Department to show up to actually extricate him. So these are all little clues that obviously very serious car accident. And we know that Tiger Woods was in serious condition. But there was a sense that this was something, at least at the scene, where he could be stabilized. They felt that they could transport him, safely by ambulance to a trauma center.
And Football Australia's confirmed the Socceroos have pulled out of this year's Copa America. Big changes to World Cup qualification schedules because of COVID-19 means dates would have clashed. Australia was invited to appear at the South American Championships as a guest. ABC News.
You're listening to ABC News Radio. Hello, I'm Ali Crew. Good to have your company. Coming up on the program, a Queensland doctor who overdosed two elderly patients with a COVID-19 vaccine was not trained.
On further investigation, Healthcare Australia has now advised that the doctor had not completed the required training.
And it was a summit the whole world watched.
US President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un are locked in talks at their summit in Singapore.
But explosive new details of the Trump-Kim Singapore meeting have emerged, including the offer of a lift on Air Force One.